Hey there, Tanzanasis listeners. This is Mike here. I'm going to offer you guys up a retro, or I guess rewind episode that I did that I think is really informative and entertaining that I think you guys will really enjoy, with my guest on this episode being Dan the Caddy and ZK. So I had a hard drive crash and I lost several interviews that I already had recorded but not yet edited down. So I basically had to start over and re-record some of those interviews. And by the way, if I haven't reached out to you yet and you record an interview that you haven't heard on the show yet, reach out to me at tanzanasis21@gmail.com and we'll schedule a redo if you have the time. I recorded an interview last weekend and I'm going to record one tomorrow. And there's one that's like 98% edited down. It's going to do some finishing touches. Although it should be coming out in the coming days or coming weeks. So there should be more fresh content for you guys. And sorry about the long wait. It was a crazy year. But if you're looking for us online, you can find this at anchor.fm/TA21. You can send voicemail messages, vote on polls, comment on the episodes, all that, and lots of things like that. Anyway, without further ado, here you go, and I'll see you down the felt.
One of these losers in Las Vegas who keeps thinking he's going to come up with a way to win at blackjack.
Are you ready for some TNA?
Welcome to TNA, the Tens and Aces podcast, a podcast with true-to-life stories and experiences from advantaged players in the game of blackjack. From pros crushing it and making a living counting cards, to newer players who are just making their way through all the ups and downs of what can be, at times, both an equally frustrating and beautiful game of AP blackjack. Is this the kind of thing you want to hear? Well, listen up, because we're about to give you some TNA. Here's your host, Mike AP.
And welcome to the show today. As the man just said, I'm your host of this transmission of our experiment in imaginary radio that we like to call TNA, the Tens and Aces podcast. So if this is the kind of thing you want to hear, well, listen up, because we're about to give you some TNA.
So with me today, we have ZK and Stan the Caddy, both APs. Sometimes, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, fellas, but sometimes you guys play alone, sometimes you guys play as a team. And thanks for coming on, fellas.
Glad to be here. I'm Stan. Thanks for having us, Mike.
You bet.
Hi, Mike. I'm ZK.
All right, fellas. So how did you guys get into APing?
So one day, I was in a casino. I was playing, and then all of a sudden, I was counting on the table. Already, all of a sudden, the one guy raised the bat when I raised up the bat. Because usually, you know, when you're counting on table, you don't want to, you know, sit on a table with somebody counting. So I left, I moved to the next table, and that asshole followed me. And end of the day, you know, I try to say something like only AP will know, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't know, back on the day, like, what's your bankroll is, you know, the bankroll could be, you know, only AP will know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he adding like stupid, like, what, you know, what are you talking about? I don't know. And I just laugh, you know, oh, okay, if you don't want to talk about it, then, you know, I'm fine with it. And
he's just
then,
playing dumb.
Yeah. And then I meet him, you know, day by day and, you know, and then we got talk more and more and then, yep, you want to finish the rest?
Yeah, it was actually pretty cool. Like, cause this casino, we sort of touched upon this in another podcast, but we would go really early in the morning and I would go earlier because I wanted to avoid traffic in this area. I would get there and I would literally give him the conditions of this casino. So if it was really crappy, he wouldn't come. So we sort of developed this little friendship, you know, right away. It's actually pretty fun. I actually looked forward to seeing him. It was, you know, someone else to talk to in the casino. But this casino was like blatantly, like he'd be sitting at the table and he'd be like, so, what is it? Is it 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock? You know, referring to the, I mean, it was so blatant. They just didn't care. And one dealer in particular where, I mean, he would cut below a deck, probably like 3/4 of a deck on a 6-deck game. And yeah, it was some of the, probably some of the funnest times as an AP sitting at the table together. I mean, I remember laughing so hard with some of the gamblers at the table and with him. It was priceless. If I could do that every day in the casino, I would, man, you could almost do it for free. It was so much fun.
Awesome. Yeah, it sounds like at that place that ZK didn't need his Asian superpower to...
I guess not.
Yeah, at that time I was betting, because I was just practicing, betting a whopping of two hands of 30.
Yeah, you know, you got to start somewhere. So when did you guys first individually get interested in blackjack? How did you get to that point? Before you guys met each other.
Go ahead, ZK.
It was kind of my girlfriend. One day we went to the casino and we play slot. I was losing like 50 bucks. I was mad on it. I was playing a slot machine, and then I go home. I'm like mad about it. I try to Google, see what's the best game, cause I'm pretty good at math, but so I'm pretty, it's gotta be, an edge about it. So like, what's the lowest edge about in casinos? And mm-hmm. I find out it's blackjack. And I know cow counting exists, based on the movie 21, but I know it's different.
Yeah.
So I start thinking about it and a lot of YouTube stuff and then I just learn about it And then originally I was just trying to get back to $50.
Mm-hmm. Right. To offset your slot loss. How long were you doing that before you guys met up together?
I would say 2 or 3 months and I met him.
He went to the casino much faster than I did. We probably both had started at similar times, but he went to the casino faster. I wasn't interested in getting to the casino super fast. I played for fun in downtown Vegas just with my buddy. I'd go out there sometimes. I remember one year after I sold my business, I was out there basically 10 of the 12 months or whatever. I went out there and I would just sit out and drink with my buddy at the table and
have fun.
Yeah. I used the martingale and I was pretty, like I said, to other people, I was pretty disciplined. I knew basic strategy probably at that point, somewhere in the mid 90s. And actually at one of the casinos that had a single deck, the dealer after all this, after I became an AP, told me that pit bosses would put so much pressure on them when I would walk into the casino. And if I'd start winning, they would shuffle the deck on me and everything else. And this is, all I was doing is the martingale. So it was pretty amusing to hear that when, after you had a losing game and they were still sweating you when you weren't even close to being a winner.
Yeah. Like I think Richard Munchkin is fun. I've heard him say several times on their podcast that it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you win consistently, they're going to at some point refuse your action, or try to countermeasure you some way.
Yes.
So you guys have been playing since the 90s?
No. We've been playing, we started in 2019.
Oh, okay. You said 19. Yeah. I thought you said 90.
No.
I was going to say, wow, you guys are OGs more than me.
I'm not even brilliant.
Yeah. So do you guys like lone wolfing more? Do you like playing as partnership? Or what do you guys do for when you guys play as a partnership? Do you do spotted BP play or what do you?
I can let ZK talk about that.
We basically just have, if we win $2,000, we just have $1,000. We basically just play like solo kind of, but we just clock in the time. Let's say I pay the morning, he pay the night, but everything the end of the day, we just half of it, and we add up the bankroll. So for that, we have an advantage with a bigger bankroll, so we can bet more with less.
Right, you have that advantage, and if when you play in the day shift, when you play in the night shift, you get more hours in.
Right.
You have less variance and all that kind of stuff. And if you're not playing at the same time, there's no covariance and all that stuff.
Yeah, we stayed away from the BP stuff because it just wasn't as good at EV. And
we're all about EV.
Yeah, we're pretty much EV whores. So
hey, that's what we're all there for, is to generate EVs.
Yeah,
I think that's a statement to any winning AP.
I see it on especially BGA where mm-hmm. Some people want to, instead of maximize, they want to optimize, which isn't wrong. It's just, you have to decide what's best for you, but every player has to make that decision on whatever circumstances they're in.
You treat your locals, for example, different than you would treat if you're on a road trip.
Correct.
You throw 30-1 or something in their face times two hands, you're not going to last very long, even at the stupidest places. Well, okay, maybe there's a few places.
Yeah, but right.
Then again, if you're just on a road trip, just burning through the Midwest or East Coast or West Coast or whatever.
There's some casinos out there where you can play super aggressive.
Yeah, and a lot of them have like a dollar threshold, like a lifetime winning amount where they will cut you off or they'll let you win, hoping that you experience variance in their shop.
CK, what do you think?
Yeah, that's true.
It helps out a lot. How much do you take your girlfriend casino for? What was it, like 50 some thousand or 60,000, 10 days or 2 weeks or whatever it was? With some godly amount. He just kept getting hours and hours and hours and just took a bunch from him.
Is that where his girlfriend works? You say it was her.
No, casino. I just called his girlfriend casino because I give him shit about he talks about this casino so much. I tell him it's like his girlfriend.
Oh, right.
You know, I mean, once you play like 25 to maximize like two hands of 2,000, I mean, there's not much casino will handle that for like, you know, for a week.
Yeah.
Every week they give you like 8 hours.
Wow. That's amazing. We're going to have to talk off the air here. Yeah.
Like 25 the minimum to two hands of 2,000 and then, you know, at least 5 hours a day. Oh, man.
And it's a good game?
It's an incredible game.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's...
I had stupid variants in that market. And I didn't last near as long as he did.
Yeah, it's crazy how that works.
It was my super agent power.
It could have been. And he was playing rated at this place too. It might have helped there, but
yeah, it's weird how some players, like, they could be counting in the same casino, different table, different pit, and, you know, same spread and all that kind of stuff. One player gets trespassed, other players even get backed off, you know?
Yeah.
I
got trespassed.
Yeah.
And they're not supposed to do it, but they still do.
One of those states.
Yeah.
Like, take us to court.
it was crazy starting out when we teamed up and combined bankrolls in our first trip together. You know, it happened like within a day or so, a couple days. And then we were looking at the EV and how much it grew, you know, like, you know, mid 300s to 400s. And then by the time we were done, we were into the $1,000 an hour for EV.
Wow.
And it was nuts. But I mean, your standard deviations are just through the roof. They were just nuts. So friends of mine would be like, look at how much you could lose in an hour. I'm like, yeah, you know.
Yeah. And you will.
I lost a lot more than one standard deviation in an hour, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And then again, there's other times, of course, that's why you're still doing it, is that you won more than one standard deviations in an hour.
Yeah.
The worst is the golden shoe that doesn't lay the egg and it destroys you.
Yeah. I had that. That was unbelievable. It was about basically a shoe and a half or so.
So you guys have any fun stories from the road?
ZK's got a funny one with the getting backed off. Well, you know, remember the one I was talking about, ZK?
Which backed off?
The one where they made the guy go to the car.
Oh yeah, that's one of them. So I was playing, you know, in the casino and the table, it's limited to three people. And then one of them is also Asian, about the same age as me. And, you know, after like a half hour, a pit boss come in, ask the other guy, can I have your ID? I know that's for me, but I know they do a mistake. They ask another
guy. He was just a ploppy.
He just a puppy. Oh, the funny thing is he forgot his ID in the car. So they make him walk all the way to the car and all that. Yeah. So I got like extra, I don't know, 15 to 20 minutes playing time. And then, after that guy gave up the ID and another crib boss come in, we want your ID too. And like, ready for what? I mean, I've been playing for so long. You know, you act like you're dumb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the pit boss says, if you don't want to give out ID, it's fine. I just need a name. So I make up a name like Lulu or whatever. And, you know, 2 minutes later, it's like, I'm sorry. We really need your ID. He's like, no, forget it. I probably lost in the hotel. We'll come back later. But that poor guy, man, it was cold too.
He probably got put in OSN, which wouldn't matter to him, I guess. Although if he tries to go to another casino, like, sir, you're not welcome here. Like, why?
Yeah, that was pretty funny. We had a time it was my first significant loss, and this isn't so funny, but I colored up to change tables because too many people came and sat at it. Actually, there was another card counter and I was trying to get him off the table, but he, for some reason, wanted to come over and sit by me. And I don't know. And he knew I was counting because I was just, you know, spreading ridiculously big. It was a graveyard. And, this drunk lady comes in off the street, sort of gets me backed up against the table. I don't want to touch her. She's gross, dirty, drunk. And she had me backed up against the table and saying, high five. And, you know, I'm trying to avoid her. I'm way backed up against the table. And she takes one of my purple chips.
What?
And, yeah, she didn't take the $1,000 chips, but she took the purple. And I didn't care. I mean, normally I wouldn't take a $1,000 chip, but I was just moving to the table. So just so anybody who hears that, I don't take $1,000 chips. But, and she cupped it. And one of the gamblers, it was actually, I think, one of the card counters or whoever it was, saw it and pointed it out. I got it back, but I couldn't believe the casino allowed it. And then they didn't even detain her to get her arrested or anything. They just kicked her out. This was a casino in Vegas, and I was splitting tens. I was doing everything, and I played for pretty much 7 hours with a little break in there. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I was spreading at that time 25 to 2 hands of 800. So it wasn't like I was going easy on them. Yeah, for people who think that you can't play in Vegas, you can. And what got me at the end was basically a sharp pit boss or table manager. But yeah, so the whole night, the employees and that were working that pit would come up and like, I'm sorry, you may want to cut that out. Sorry.
Okay.
They're like, are you sure you're not with her? Are you sure she wasn't with you? Are you sure she wasn't with you? And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, give me some credit. You know, I try to keep myself somewhat type of a shape. This lady was like disgusting, you know, and I was trying to dress a little bit nicer that night than I normally would at the casino.
To justify the bet. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not kidding. And it was probably, I don't know, 2-3 hours later, she comes back in. And at this time, they're yelling at her to stay away from the table because she was going to come up and try the same thing. And she's like, what? What? She's just like playing stupid. But, you know, thinking about it, she must have done this because she knew to go for the bigger chips. And I was thinking about it today. I'm like, what was she going to do with it? Because they weren't, you know, the cage wasn't going to accept that. You know, she would probably have to try to pawn it off on somebody out on the street or something.
Yeah. Or find somebody that's betting money and do it for. Yeah, give them 50 cents on the dollar or something. Or
exactly.
Yeah. She probably didn't know the yellow chips were thousands. But she knew the purples were 500.
Yeah. They weren't yellow at this casino, but I can't tell you that or I'll give it away.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. I have a similar story, nowhere near those stakes, but I was sitting at a double deck table at a place here in the Seattle metro. They shuffle the cards up. The dealer hands the cut card to this guy, puts the cut card in. Pulls his hand back, and then when he's pulling his hand back, he cups the dude next to him, and it was only a quarter. He cupped his quarter off at the guy's circle and then took the guy's money, and the dealer said, I saw that, and he called the floor originally, and this is a native joint, and the guy was a native person, and it took him like 2 hours to get the guy out. But the funny part of the story is the guy still sat there and played with us, and the guy, this is before COVID, 2-3 years before COVID, they were still smoking in the casino.
It's coming back.
Not right now. Yeah, it is.
It is. For the vengeance.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying. But anyway, so the guy that stole the quarter from the other dude, he said, hey man, can I borrow a smoke? He's like, you dude, you just tried to steal my $25. You got the balls to ask me to bum a smoke.
Jeez.
And now it's time for a quick commercial break.
Have you heard of heavy metals?
No!
I'm not talking about the heavy metals in the junkyard. I'm talking about the heavy metals that build up in your body. Heavy metals in your body can make you feel sluggish, fatigued, and just plain off. Why not try Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com? Cleansing your body and making you feel great. Cleansing the inside of your body of intruders that sneak their way into you and set up an intruder camp. Life Change Tea helps remove unwanted intruder camps.
You're out of here!
Brew it. Steep it and drink in the results. Tastes great so you can create a new health habit. Our tea loves to help people. It just needs the chance. So order yours today by logging on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Our Life Change Super Strength Tea is waiting. This could be a beautiful relationship. Take charge of your health.
Charge!
Order at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com.
Hey, this is Colin from Blackjack Apprenticeship, and my biggest regret when I started out as a card counter was that I didn't have the tools I needed to succeed as a professional blackjack player. Because of that, I basically spent the first 500 hours of my career with a losing game and insanely high risk of ruin. Well, I've spent the last decade building out at blackjackapprenticeship.com the resources you need to not make the same mistakes I did, like the training tools to get a perfect game and the software you need to put together bet spreads and to scout casinos and network with other advantage players. Learn more about what our membership has to offer by going to blackjackapprenticeship.com.
Hey there, listeners. This is Mike here again. I just want to tell you a few things that are going on relating to the show. First off, we started a Facebook page called Tens and Aces Blackjack. On there, we can post threads on the episode. People can leave comments about the episodes and other stuff relating to the show, as well as general blackjack and AP-related discussions. We've also recently launched the tensandaces.com website, where you can find all kinds of good stuff relating to the show on there. If you'd like to reach out to the show, you can do that by emailing us at tensandaces21@gmail.com. That's tensandaces21@gmail.com. Or you can call the show's voicemail and text line at area code 518-289-0478. That's area code 518-289-0478. And last but not least, I'd like to thank all the people who donated money to help supplement what it costs to produce this show. Thank you. It is greatly appreciated. And if you yourself are feeling generous and you feel like supporting something you like this show, that would be awesome if you could throw a few bucks in TNA's direction. But if you don't, we still love you anyway. It's all good and no worries. But if you are so inclined, you can accomplish that at our website, tensandaces.com. Just click on support the show. And now we're back. Let's hear some ZK stories. I want to hear ZK story. Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you ever like pretend that you can't speak English?
Yeah, I mean, I've done that more in the real life than in the AP world. I've done that like when a puppy come over, you know, try to talk to you when you try to focus. But no, let's just get out, you know, when you try to count. But I haven't done that when, you know, people come over or
You actually have a good story about your soft 21. ZK, when they wouldn't let you do it, the pit boss?
Yeah,
still haunts him.
Yeah, that was, I think that was beginning of our team up.
I think it was before COVID.
Yeah, so I have a hand that's like 10, speed 4 times, and the last hand I got the ace, and the count is high enough for me to double down on the soft 21. And then the pit boss come over, was like, oh, you cannot do that. I'm like, why not? And he asked for another, you know, I guess a bigger pit boss, and he says no. I'm like, oh wow. So I wasn't trying to make, you know, a big deal, because I still want to keep playing.
Mm-hmm.
So I let it go, but I end up losing the whole hand. But then later on, the bigger boss come down, says yes, you can do that.
Yeah, thanks now. So, thanks now, buddy.
I should have done is I could have called the gaming and we do the whole thing. They have to, I believe they have to pay me the hand,
or at least push it.
They changed the rule on me but I didn't know that much. And I probably had a pretty decent bet out too.
If you're already splitting tens.
That's like a $3,000 or $4,000.
Yeah, right.
He said, and I remember what the dealer got. He goes, I'm positive I would have won.
Yeah, because the next hand is a 10. So I will get 2-10 with an ace. That's
right. So you're talking, that's a $6,000 swing or $8,000 swing. versus a 3,000 or 4, whatever it was, loss. Oh man! But,
end of the day, I end up winning all that bet plus, you know, a little bit more. I guess because that they let me play a little bit longer. I don't know. Yeah, I've been playing there for 6 hours or so. So okay. With me.
Did they eventually back you off?
I forgot if they did or not. They got busy and I just left.
Yeah, we pretty much got backed off everywhere. Listen, if I would assume, you probably did at some point.
Right.
Yeah. I had a story that doesn't really pertain to me other than me just sitting at the table. I was longing in and out. It was an 8-deck game and it was a new casino and, they were dealing and, there's a couple more players and the guy at third base gets some hand. I don't know what it was. He stayed and the dealer didn't have anything special. She had a ace in there somewhere and she got to a 17 and it was a hard 17 and he looks at her. He goes, that's a soft 17. And she looks at him and she says, just for you, and takes another card and she busts. I mean, it was total. I mean, she would have been fired on the spot. I mean, it was totally, she did it blatantly on purpose. Yeah, it was pretty incredible. I'm sitting there going, are you kidding me? I'm like, yeah, I mean, other funny stories. I mean, just the travel in general, just being teammates. I mean, this guy would travel 30 miles for food because food's like a total event for him. I mean, he would literally go get, He would literally go get some like authentic Asian food. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. You're gonna drive 30 minutes to get food? And he'd be gone like an hour and a half. I'm like,
That's lying. Crazy. Back on the day, I was doing a massage.
Oh, what kind of massage?
He covered up well because he comes back with enough food for like a family of 10.
Oh, they were doing promotion. You know, I went out to get your food.
Yeah, at the beginning too, he was just like totally upset about how bad he felt after losses because I couldn't lose in the beginning. It was the first big loss that we had as a team. It was the biggest loss by far. And he kept saying to me as I was leaving with that voice of his, he sounds like the character on Ice Age, the little sloth. He's like, the whole team's counting on you. Well, the whole team is, you know, him. So, I actually went out and played the same table he played, and it was just under a CTR that night. I won everything that he lost plus more back. I came back into the I came back into the hotel room, just threw all the chips on the bed, and he's like, what? That was a pretty cool moment.
Yeah,
the stakes you guys play at, how do you guys handle CTRs, speaking of CTRs? You try to stay under?
Yeah, I mean, I'll let ZK talk. I have some opinions on that also.
Yeah, of course, we always try to avoid it, but, you know, like, try to cash out, I mean, some chips before you play, or, you know, try to use the casino, come back, you know, cash in later on, you know, all that.
Sure.
But, you know, but sometimes you just cannot, you know, control it with, you know, past six, and then, you know, you just keep losing. You have to fill up that paper, you know, leave the table away.
Yeah, I remember hearing some questions, like some of the things you'd do over again. And I thought about it. There isn't too many things. I remember playing on a full table just a little bit. And that would have been a minor thing I would have changed because I really didn't do a lot of it. But the one thing I would have changed, and this hurt us at one casino because it ended up cutting ZK's time down. We were actually out of this casino. We knew that they database and we knew they would connect us. So we went in at the same time and there was enough plays at this casino that we would both could play and we wouldn't run into each other at all. I actually went into the high limits room there and I was in for a CTR. I was just to the point I was in there and it was a true four and I'm like, what should I do? What should I do? And I knew if I went with a CTR, there's a chance that would know who I was and I knew there's a chance that they could, you know, back me off or whatever. And so I said, whatever, you know, I'll do it. And sure enough, I did it and they came out and they flapped at me. So and MZK got it like an hour after that or something. And I truly think that if I could do it over again, I would never ever, like at these casinos that have database and stuff, even though as hard as it is to walk away, you're in for that much. You just have to because you're done once they find out who you are. And you know, that hurt me at another casino too.
That's what I was going to say. Casino. Yep. Especially if you're on a trip.
Well, I mean, right. It hurt me at another casino where I did this something similar and they linked me with their player cards because there was a property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are some of the real gray areas that one hand, I could see why you did it because you don't want to give up the EV, right? And the other hand, you're giving up EV if the place you can't play anymore. So.
Yeah. You know. Well, yeah. And it really hurt because maybe it didn't, but I'm convinced it cut DK's time off there because after a while, we were linked together. I mean, there's no question about it.
Mm-hmm. Even though you guys try to play different shifts or in different properties.
We were linked together from, I mean, almost instantly. We license plate scanner got us like almost instantly. Yeah, it was just so, but anyways, we were known in one market as a substantial threat to the casino. So we were just, he would walk into the casino and they would nod at him. They're like, you play any blackjack today? And he's like, what's up? What's up?
I'm a big fan of Ubering in, like parking at a park and ride or some Walmart that's open 24 hours or something, and then Ubering in like for 15 bucks.
We learned our lesson on that right away. I mean, the first road trip we went on, they had license plate scanners, so we learned that right away. There's just certain casinos you can't, but yeah, we would park. I mean, it was to the point where we would park, you know, at one casino. I had to walk over a half a mile down the road because this place has so many cameras. It was ridiculous. So yeah, we were really, really good about that, but there's just some places you just, you know, almost, you can't avoid it. There is no such thing as called an Uber in this area. Unless it's in the back of some guy's pickup truck, you know.
The Uber ride would be so expensive that it kind of eaten into your EV,
I stressed it on the other one. I can't tell everybody how important it is not to take your car into these parking lots if you don't have to, or some way, you know, make sure they can't get your license plate. You know, I'll let you guys decide how to do that. But
right.
ZK, tell them about, go ahead.
And some casinos, they have like, the camera can scan like miles away. We try to walk like a street down.
Jeez.
And they still cut us like they try to pick it up. We try to avoid the pat scanner.
We were literally a block away, and their scanner, their cameras would get off their property, and they could see us dropping each other off. But tell them about the time we had to get out of the hotel at the middle of the night because of you.
So I believe they pulled it up. They pulled me up from the database because that night I didn't play anything. I just walked in, checked some slots, and then I was about to play, but I haven't played. They trespassed me. Well, they didn't trespass me. They just said, you're not welcome. Yeah, I got back to the hotel. They do the same thing. Cause I believe they sister pup. Mm-hmm. So, we got kicked out in the middle of the night. But the thing is, I left right away. I didn't give them the name or anything. But they pulled me out by the hotel, you know, the name and our partners in it. So I believe he ended up, you know, get the blacklist too. But then he played the other day, the day next, and he still got hours in, I believe. Was that the same casino?
Yeah, that place I ended up going back in and, cashing out. Like, we were leaving. We had to leave town. I had to cash out 6,000 in chips. I'm like, whatever, screw it. I'm going to just go in and just do them all at once. You know, they're going to trespass me as soon as I walk in anyways. So I have all this, you know, planned out in my head of how it's going to go. I go in there, get to the counter. It was the easiest cash out I ever had. They cashed me out and I left. There's no trespass, nothing. So yeah, that was interesting.
That sounds funny how you both got way different results. They tracked him to his hotel room.
Well,
the worst thing is it happened in the middle of the night, like 1
a.m.
Yeah, was,
and, yeah, they and do that on purpose.
You cannot get any hotel because when you book online or whatever, book the next day and you cannot check in until the morning.
So these casinos are linked together. They're not far apart. And when they came in, this guy was like 500 pounds. You know, he's walking like a tough guy, and his buddy come in. You know, they're like mall cops basically. And
yeah.
And, I'm actually by the front counter when they come in because I'm waiting for the microwave, and it was because of COVID, only one person was allowed into this room where they had the microwave, and like it was also like office stuff, you know, for business stuff.
Copies.
And they come in and they're talking about it, and I'm standing right next to them, listening to them, everything they're saying about ZK, and they had no idea who I was at that time. So I'm getting all this information. So I knew something was happening, and then he called me, and it was just like a shit show. They come knocking on the door, and then, you know, I didn't have anything on my head or, you know, mask or anything. So I throw everything on and like, what do you guys need? I walk out there. What do you need? They're like, oh, there is somebody in there. And they had no idea who I was. I can't give that information out why, but they kept calling me different names, and it was pretty amusing. I told them I was going to eat my food before I left. I sat there and ate my food for like 15 minutes, and they came back knocking. I went, yep. I said, I'm just packing up now. So I had to grab all my stuff, and then ZK came pulling up, and I told him to keep the visor down and everything down so they couldn't see who we were, and you know, that was a crazy moment. But that's one of the moments I think I was pretty proud that we handled it pretty well.
Right. That sounds like you did, you know, the best you could in the circumstances. Sometimes they're totally just being assholes doing it at 1 a.m. I mean, why not? If somebody's already done, why not let them sleep? But just be a dick about it, you know?
I sort of let them know that I wasn't being like a jerk to him, but I basically said that it's just ridiculous what you guys are doing and your bosses are doing. When I was sitting there originally, I remember him saying, oh, we're going to call such and such a casino and notify them too that these guys are in the area. It's like, you know, I'm like, we knew that this area, you know, pretty much flyered anyways.
It's not like, see, the thing about it is it's not like you're cheating or even breaking the law. You're just playing smart. And a matter of fact, we have the same business model that they do. We know we have an edge. So we go and play with our edge, and then they encourage people to come. But the people that are degenerates, they'll encourage them more to come. But the people that aren't, and then I understand that. Like, I'm not gonna, if LeBron James challenges me to a 1-on-1 basketball game and spots me, you know, 20 out of 21 points, I'm not taking the bet.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm beat. I'm not wasting my $100 or whatever the bet is. I get it. I understand that, but don't be dicks kicking someone out at 1 a.m. from their hotel room, you know?
Yeah, especially anybody who's, you know, newer listening to this, you know, I've seen some comments where people are like, oh, I speak my mind on the back offs, and I see people just, you know, like egging the people on.
There's no win to that.
Yeah, there's no reason for it. You just want to make yourself the least memorable as possible. So if you ever come back, they're never going to remember you. You just say thanks. You even say you try to kill them with kindness, even if they're sort of jerks to you.
Yeah, because there's no upside. You're just going to piss them off and make them make damn sure they fire you out. You're just pissing the guy off and make him do his job even more. Yeah, you know, he probably doesn't like backing you off. What's that?
Most of the time they're just doing, you know, the orders because, you know, it's the order from their boss. Sometimes you do want to argue with them because they're emotional, but it's a lot easier to just say, okay, I'm leaving. That will make it a lot easier.
You get one moment of, or 30 seconds of yelling at somebody, you're letting your steam off because you're pissed off. Like you said, ZK, emotional. Yep. And then you lose 4 hours of play at the place down the road. Maybe they wouldn't have called but then you piss them off, then they're going to, you know, you're just making them do it.
Yeah. I mean, there's only really a couple times where I don't think, or that I didn't do that. And both of them I thought were somewhat called for. The one was a casino where they dealt on me. I talked about this in the BGA podcast. And then they, one card in, they're yelling shuffle, shuffle, and they picked up the card and I told them they owed me for the hands and it turned into this big shit show. And, I sort of stood my ground saying, you know, you guys owe me. And the pit boss just kept escalating his temper. He was getting worse and worse by the minute. And the gamblers were on my side. It was quite entertaining, to be honest with you. And actually ZK was in the casino watching all this at this one. And then it was getting to the point where they were calling for a trespass and I was leaving and the casino guard almost grabbed my shoulder. And, so that one turned into me calling gaming, walking back in and.
Yeah, they can't touch you.
I threw my hands in the air and yeah, I handled that one right. I mean, if you'd have touched me, I can't say for sure. I went to, you know, threw him through the slot machine, but, and for people who know me, I'll understand why I said that, but I think I handled it well. But the other one, and then when he was reaching in his pocket to grab his paper to read the trespass act, and I was right by the doors and I like jog across the parking lot and this security guard was just flipping out. He was so mad. Then I had to call gaming and go back. Then they arranged for me to go back in. Because really the casino has a lot of authority when it can kill a hand on the table. They can pretty much do anything unless you pretty much have a blackjack. They can kill the hand if the rounds, they can't change it at that point. But
yeah, they have finals. The pit has final say.
Right. So yeah, everybody, like even that day I called people that are, you know, have a lot of hours on the tables and nobody knew the real answer. And this could vary state by state, but this was definitely an issue. So I went back in and the guy's just like, as soon as I walk in, they're waiting for me, you know, and I'm walking in and these people that were on my side are like, man, I'm surprised they let you back in. and I'm walking to the cage and the guy's just like reading the trespass act and he gets to the part and he goes, do you understand? And I keep ignoring him and he goes, do you understand? And he's just raising his voice. And at one point he asks if I'm listening and I go, I don't have to listen to a word you say, you know, I'm just ignoring him. And my adrenaline's going so much, my hands are shaking. And that was quite an event.
It kind of reminded me of one story too. When it was in COVID. I went out with the mask. So I walked in the casino and then, I went out mask. I asked the security, can I get a mask? And the security is like, yeah, go ahead, take more of them. Trust me, you pay for it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Literally.
And
you
then,
know.
In my house, like, I'm the only one that doesn't pay for it. I'm not the gambler.
Yeah, right.
CK, tell them the times that you try to come up and distract the dealers and stuff when I'm playing. Oh my God.
That's an awesome idea.
Oh God. And he's so stupid that I have to literally like turn my head and not look at him. Cause I'll, you know, thank God for mask. Otherwise I'd start, you know, busting out laughing.
Right.
Yeah. I was watching him and there's like three pitfalls, two so close to him. And then like, I go over like, hey, you know, where's the bathroom? What time you guys close? And, you know, what's the limit? You know, keep asking them a question until they, you know, get annoying me. And then they send me over to another pitfall.
He did that a couple times.
So you're trying to make the dealer, you're trying to, the pit boss not to notice,
trying to get the heat off of me.
Right. That'd be another thing to do, like talk to the dealer to get the dealer to make mistakes. That's not a bad idea either.
He did it at one casino and after they started messing with the cut card shortly after anyways. And as they're telling me, I wasn't allowed in any of their establishments anymore. They're like, until your Asian buddy, he's not either. I'm like, who? And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
The jig is up.
Yeah.
But they actually, I'm like, what, me. Who, this guy here next to me? What are you talking about?
They
what guy?
They actually believe me. I believe that I didn't know him, so it worked out. Yeah, I mean, there's been some crazy trips, but ZK would pretty much, you know, if I was going out to play or if he was going out to play, we would use the pro betting software, figure out the best EV we possibly could with the bet spread that we could use.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we had no shame. If it was $10 minimum, we're playing $10 minimums to whatever we could spread by.
So like 30-1 or something, 40-1.
I calculated our biggest spread was our biggest spread was 161.
Just poke it in their eyes, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, without any cover. I mean, I done the white elephant thing. That was stupid. They didn't buy me any time.
The white rabbit.
I mean, forgot. What's the first hand? You bet a little bit more on the first hand. You know, mm-hmm, that didn't buy me anything. No,
it would seem like any time we would increase our bet sizes, he would always be the first one, and he'd always rub it in my face. Like I had him to 1500, and then once we got to 2 by 2000, he was always like, "Yep, I got to bet 2000 a hand before you did."
That's the Asian superpower, right? I mean, racism sucks, but I guess take advantage of it when it works in your favor, right?
Until he started winning, then it sort of that changes a little bit.
Yeah, right. Just go hang out at the baccarat table for a while.
Yeah,
you fit right in.
Believe it or not, that's how I cash in most of my chips in the baccarat table.
Before I play more chips, yeah.
Yeah, before I play the blackjack, usually I will. You know, a day before I go to the baccarat table, you know, walk around, act like I know something, and then, you know, cash in 6,000 and then,
at a bock table, they don't, nothing. Yeah, right.
Yeah. And then I look around, oh, the table just turned bad, or the dragon just got killed, or whatever.
Yeah, that definitely helped him. I could not get away with that.
Yeah, you could.
I did go, no, not in baccarat. He was able to get away. Wait, he would literally go in and buy in like 3,000, 4,000 at a time. It's nuts. I went into a casino and I looked ridiculous. I had a disguise on. I mean, I looked absolutely ridiculous. And I played craps once in my life. And so I'm buying in for $1,000 at this crap table. And then I go to put like a $5 bet down, and I'm like putting my hand down when they're trying to roll the dice. And I just looked just absolutely stupid. And, I'm like, and I won. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to go over to the other table. I went into the high limits room and bought in for another few thousand because I figured that there was only so much they were going to, I was going to be able to get away with here. And, then they were just freaking out when I was buying in. It was funny. They were trying to get me to pull my mask down. Just, you know, anybody who thinks that if you buy in for large amounts of money because you're going to need it eventually, that's the wrong thing to do, because you're going to draw so much heat on yourself. It's incredible.
Well, the best thing to do is find a networked AP in the area and buy some chips from him.
Yeah, chips or her. Inventory.
Yeah, right. Yep.
Otherwise, you can go in a day or two before. That's what we'd both go get chips and just we'd have our own chip inventory.
One time, me and my buddy, the Snowman, I don't know if you listened to other episodes, but he's been on this podcast before. Yep. And we walked into this casino. It's a 16-table card room. We were the only white people in there. We walk in there, which, you know, I don't care, but we walk in there and there's no blackjacks going. It's all like six baccarat tables and like a couple pai gao tables and then some live poker games and then a few other things, but no blackjack was open. And then so we just walking through there just to see what they have, because we've never been in that specific shop. We're in there like 30 seconds and the pit boss walks, "Hey, you guys want us to open a blackjack for you?" Like, totally profiled us. we're like, come on, man.
Yeah, ZK does have some interesting stories. He touched a little bit on it in the other one, but he could probably go in more detail. Like, his parents still don't know what he does for a living. His culture, it's either you're all in on gambling or you have a gambling problem.
Right. So what, just for listeners, what is your background, ZK?
Yeah, I could tell a little bit. So I'm born in China, and I moved to U.S. about 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I know. Everybody sounds like you only moved here 2 years ago, but trust me, it's been a while.
Asshole.
Yeah, that's how it looked like when I first stayed back here. I was like, oh my God, this is an asshole. when I move to the next table, he follow me.
Racist bastard.
Yeah. Yeah. So my background was the Asian culture that they have, you know, if people know about it, there's a lot of gambling problem. I really believe it's the education, because in China they don't talk about gamble, so you don't learn anything. You just don't talk about it. You just been told gambling sucks. Gamble is bad. So gambler, you know, just bad. Anybody go to casino is, you know, bad people.
Right.
So yeah, they never learn about it. They just, you know, I believe it's the education. So then for my parents, you know, I still haven't told them what exactly I'm doing right now. They just know that I've been out of the state for, you know, for a year or 2 years.
And what do they think you're doing? I mean,
told them I'm with the government, that not allowed to say much about them to them.
No, that's a good cover.
But yeah. So, I mean, they see me bring money home monthly. So I believe, you know, I mean, this one time, you know, my friend told my dad about it. And oh my God, it was like crazy. Yeah. My dad was so mad about it. And well, I got the cover, but yeah, I still haven't told him about it.
He probably thinks it's illegal too. A lot of people who don't know that you're cheating or you're breaking the law, or, you know.
It's either that or I'm just gambling. They just don't believe that I'm an AP, or they don't believe AP assists.
Yeah, if he's winning that much, how much is he losing? That kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And also that bring me without my partner, I believe I won't go this far. Not just the bankroll, it's just the mental and, you know, keep like driving around and also nobody to talk to. When I first started, even my girlfriend don't, you know, fully support me. She just think, you know, just one of the website scam that you're stupid enough to believe about it.
Yeah, your girlfriend, the casino that's your girlfriend, or your actual girlfriend?
Yep. No, the girlfriend actually beat me.
Yeah, I know.
$50.
Yeah.
And she's a true gambler too, with slot machine.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah, we were in Vegas. We would use Vegas sort of as not so much to play at it, but we would use it almost as like a base when we were on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a good story. They were at a station's casino, and she had friends in town, and he was trying to explain to them, not let him take over. I can't, you know, give the details as good as he does, but about, you know, if they're gambling on a slot machine, and he gave them an option and they said no. So I'll let him take over on that.
Yeah. So well, I always explained it to all my friends and stuff, try to be understand about, you know, what's AP or why gambling, you keep losing it. Let's say for a slot machine, you lose 10%, you know, every hand. So I told them, if I give you a deal, you know, just flip a coin, you know, 50-50, right? If you bet a dollar, if you win, I give you 50 cents. Will you take the deal? They all said, no, that's stupid. But then I told them, that's about the same thing when you gamble in the casino, you know.
Yeah.
You have an edge. I mean, you can win, you know, you can win heads 10 times, but the edge of that is still 50-50. But the casino only gave you 90% of what you're betting or. As you know, Asian, they understand the math so quickly, but I don't know why they're so addicted to gamble. I believe they believe luck so much. Like, what if, you know, what if I'm the jackpot?
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, I just keep explaining to my girlfriend about a year. Now she kind of, you know, support me. By the way, she's a flight attendant. So now after she support me, I can get flight for free.
That is awesome. Get to sit on standby or whatever. That's a great AP hack right there, man.
Standby, first class. That's some EV going on.
First class. Yeah. Well, that's major EV. Yeah. AV.
Yeah. Just so everybody knows, ZK is one of my best friends. So, but he,
I can tell.
If I give him crap, I mean, he says if something happens, he goes, look at your people. He always says. Oh man. And then we always get in arguments. I remember we were driving somewhere and he was sleeping and he always sleeps in the car. And the one time he wasn't quite asleep. There was something on the news and they were talking about New York City.
That was the president. That was Trump.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't Trump. But it was the news. But it was a study on the news, and they were telling about how Asians are, you know, statistically are in these schools are the highest, you know, the smartest people. And yeah. I'm thinking, okay, thank God he's asleep. He doesn't hear this. And he's like, see, see. I'm like, damn it. I thought you'd be asleep for.
That's funny.
So, yeah, it was funny. But it was pretty cool. But yeah, we've had some funny stories. He went into a casino and some of the best games in the country with surrender, resplit aces. It's just ridiculous. And the one casino definitely flyered him. And within 15 minutes, they told him that he was an AP and he couldn't play. And I went in later that night and I went without some of the stuff I was wearing at the other casino. And sure. I got 2 hours and 50 minutes.
Did you rub
and
it in?
No, it was funny because when I walked in, I was looking around and the floor game was just unplayable. It was too busy. And we're always looking for the best TV. So if we can bet less than, you know, on the floor and bet just as much on the top end, we'll do it. But it just wasn't going to work. And then the high limit room, there's two $50 tables and we definitely could afford $50, minimum.
Sure.
But we hated it. You know, we were so stubborn in that stuff.
And the table
on the right was full of friends gambling and they're going like crazy and they're playing some baccarat or something in the back. And then the other table, there's just a dealer standing there with, nothing to do. So I asked, finally, I'm like, screw it. I'm going to ask. I said, can you guys lower it to 25 and I'll play? And they're like, sure. So I hopped on there and, had one of the best nights I've had in my whole career as far as just grinding it out. It wasn't like I was winning glory shoes. It was just like a slow grind. And
yeah,
finally after 2 hours and 50 minutes, when they backed me off, I asked
the same casino.
And I asked the surveillance guy, I said, what led to it? He goes, I was busy watching something else. And I'm like, I think he was more embarrassed than anything because he walked by my table a number of times when I had table max out on this table. And he never noticed. And I'm thinking, so you're telling me you're the only one in the casino who could analyze an AP. And so that just,
wow.
Yeah. So that just basically what he told me. And yeah, it was a pretty cool session. And I know there's no secret. Joe 748 is a good friend of ours.
Right.
I remember he said to, you know, listen to podcasts over and over and over because there's little things you'll miss that you can pick up again once you hear them.
Absolutely.
But he said always, you know, ask questions when you leave because there's stuff you can pick up on that might help you. And that was one of the things that I passed along, especially to other people that were going to that casino. You know, I said, you know, try to go during a busier time or try this, you know, try what shift it was, anything.
Look out for this one guy. He's the only guy that can count down a deck.
Yeah, I can give out names and, surveillance people that came down and that were just sharper than sharp and super nice and just to avoid them. Even, you know, I want ZK to talk some too, but a post on getting time in Vegas and yeah, it's really difficult, but there are casinos you can do it. You just have to figure out a way to do it. And, you know, there's just certain times where you can't go and there's certain times where yes, you can go. And
like during the AVN convention, maybe.
Yeah, right. Time to go. But even like, even time, like, yeah, right. Exactly. And it's difficult, but you can do it. And that's another thing I wanted to, you know, sort of hit on. Everybody sort of jumps on people when they post something, but you don't give out your location. Don't give out where you're going to be. Don't give out what you're betting. Going to casinos on any type of forums. We just never know who's watching. You would never want to put your information out there. So, I mean, that's just a little tip. I know many, you know, people have done it and then people are like, what are you doing? Don't do this. You know, it's just,
yeah,
just one of those things, you know, and I've commented that even my closest friends in the AP world, for the most part, don't know where I am or, you know, where I'm playing or what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's just safer that way.
That's a good point. I'm sure you've seen too. Not so much on BGA, but other places like Reddit, even on BGA, where people will say, yeah, I'm flying into Vegas and I'm going to hit this casino on this day, that day. Dude, there's people in there.
There's people watching it. I know
like they can't afford to buy one membership and share information.
Right. Right. You don't have anything better to do. Surveillance is probably up and sometimes sitting up in their booth, just, you know, looking at that stuff because they don't have anything better to do. They're not paid very much, so they're not going to put a lot of work into just sitting there staring at the tables either.
Yeah, I've heard some surveillance people like zoom in on cell phones, not necessarily looking for AP stuff, just looking for drama.
Yeah,
because they're bored, looking for funny shit or pictures.
You have an advantage on that too because you don't keep your stuff in English, right?
What do you mean?
Like you're looking at or
on your cell phone and stuff, it just doesn't come out in English, does it?
No, it's all Chinese. Even your name is in Chinese.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So,
well, hopefully the survey, maybe in Macau that wouldn't work very well.
But... Well, Macau, they all use CSI.
Ah, right. Yeah, Blackjack's dead there. That's right.
Yeah. So but ZK is an interesting guy. I mean, I hope people, I know as far as the people that know the team know me more so than ZK, because he's not, it's just not his thing to network as much, and he just lets that be up to me, but he's really got a personality. He's much like, if you listen to this podcast, you'd think I'm the one at the table putting on a hat and doing all this other stuff. And that's just not true. It's the total opposite way around. This guy is like, I don't even think I could sit at the same table with him.
That's a
you be cracking up.
Yeah. What's that? No, because I got afraid to say something that make people mad. Like, I don't mean to, but you know, that's the way that I talk. Sometimes I make people mad. I don't even know.
Yeah.
So you're an unintentional asshole. Is that what you're saying? You don't want to be.
No, it's like something. For example, it might be my career, my background in something like, it's not a big deal for me, but it might be a big deal for, you know, a lot of people. So
right.
After I said that, I'm like, I didn't even know.
Like a cultural thing.
Exactly. That... Like, you know, a lot of people says I eat dog for breakfast. No.
Yeah.
That's the first time I heard, you know, people eat dogs since I got to US.
Yeah, no, that's so funny. Yeah, all the stereotypes.
Yeah, he's really a character, and I hope people get to meet him eventually. That, you know, when they're out and about, because he's definitely got a personality. And I know he's somewhat quiet on the podcast, but he's got way more personality as far as in the casino than I do.
Right.
Yeah, I don't mind to help people, you know, about AP World stuff, but I'm not, you know, social is not my good thing, I can tell right now. But about math or you know, how to get advantage, that's pretty good. I mean, if some people need my help or even a culture, I mean, welcome to, you know, talk to me or stuff.
Right. And your English is great, by the way. I have no trouble understanding.
he's one of a kind, I'll tell you that. But yeah, I couldn't have worked out better. I mean, the first day in the casino meeting this guy was a blessing. I don't know where each of us would be without it, but I'm sure we wouldn't be as far along as we are right now.
Do you think, the value of that partnership or team or whatever you want to call it, do you think it's the camaraderie and be able to weather the emotional parts of the game more or easier than if you guys were lone wolfing it?
Yeah, let's put it this way. Without a team, I don't think I can make this far. So I would say a teammate is almost a must. Yeah, because the losing streak and, you know, there's always new thing that comes out that you don't know how to handle, like the motion, you know, and, you know, bank. Yeah, just a lot of things. By myself, I'm sure I would give up probably a long time ago. And sometimes, you know, as a human, I got lazy. I just, you know, I don't want to go to the casino and be with a partner. He kicked you in. Hey, get in the casino. I need my EV, you know, help.
Yeah. And him and you to him too, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
You don't need to. He's not as lazy as that.
Or he's greedier.
But I talk about in the other podcast. I had a health issue, so one of the things I have to do is take care of myself before anything. So that gets in a little bit of the way of sometimes me getting hours. So I have to go to the gym and do some cardio and get my workout in, because I have to be healthy to be able to even go into the gym, or I mean into the casino.
Yeah.
And so and he understands that. I think the value of a team is pretty much everything, especially a two-person team. I couldn't be on a team where I didn't have equal say, and ZK and I both have the same amount of say. If one person doesn't agree with something, then we don't do it. As simple as that. It doesn't matter that person's more right than the other person. It's just that if we're not all in, we don't do it. And it's just the whole thing. I mean, we bounce ideas off of each other constantly, and nobody's perfect. And for everybody out there, I don't know whether if there's going to be ever an AP who comes in on a podcast or you're talking to who will tell you that they didn't make a mistake. So you guys are going to make mistakes. It's going to happen, but you just can't sit there and just, you know, keep analyzing yourself about it. You just have to move on and it's over with, and, you know, you just have to do better and learn from it.
Yeah, we all make mistakes. Anybody who says that they don't make mistakes, that's when you need to stop listening to that person.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, but you know, the reasons for doing these podcasts isn't for, you know, notoriety or whatever else, is to inspire other people to do the same thing. Because that's what I remember when I was starting and I was practicing, I'd be washing the car, listening to Gambling with an Edge or, you know, whatever podcast, BGAs, and, you know, just over and over and over. I don't know if ZK listened to as many. I know I did quite a bit of them.
Me too. As a matter of fact, there wasn't enough Blackjack specific podcasts. That's why I made this one.
Right.
So there was just pretty much just Collins and then a bunch of stuff that was worthless.
But,
and then every four episodes of Gambling with an Edge was Blackjack related, maybe. If
some of those are.
But even I will say, as far as that goes, that even if they're talking about, I don't know, sports betting or horse racing, and if the AP that's on there is legit, and most time is, and I can pick up some AP wisdom from them, even if it doesn't directly relate, you know, to right. Blackjack.
Do they have any podcasts in China or no?
Well, they probably do, but I just don't know about it. I know they have the Chinese AP are more, how do I say this? They like a company. So they have, I know there's AP, they have department of searching teams. So the searching team, they will search all the casino, anytime have promotions, you know, all the informations, like where have the good games. And then they have a hit team when they find a good game or promotion or whatever. They will send, you know, the team over there to get advantage. And then they also have a teacher, I believe they call teacher, to teach, you know, newbies. And then they can find, you know, potential workers from the newbies. Yeah,
they have clean names, right?
Yeah, they like a company.
Wow, they run like a business.
Make one person famous.
Yeah, that's what he says.
They make one person famous, so everybody go after his name. So, you know, once they got famous, they're students come learn about it, and they just pick, you know, first of all, they already earn the money from the student, right? Because you have to pay for study, and then they pick few of them that have potentials, you know, be the worker.
Sure.
To work for them. Yeah, and they I know they do like a lot, like a big play.
I've never heard that. That's really interesting.
He used to say it's sort of like Colin, but like on a bigger scale, like.
Yeah, kind of like Colin, but Colin is more like retired. I would say more like, you know, focus on his website.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But yeah,
go ahead, sorry.
That's one of the advantages of having a teammate for, ZK, being, you know, where he's from and the ability to look at, you know, different areas of the world and see how things are done, which I would never get from another person with the same culture I'm in. Because we would never be able to see that. I would never even know it exists.
So what you're telling me is diversity is good in life.
It is. It definitely is. And when I'm out and I meet other APs and the Nickels in the world, all these people who help me out, I get a kick out of it when they finally get to meet ZK, because, you know, he's half of who I am basically at this point in the AP world. So, you know, he and I have also met people outside casinos that are new, that are just to talk to them. And I think that's an important thing to do, because it helps other people connect with some of the other people that are actually doing it at the time.
It just helps them know that there's other people there to support them, and they can actually meet another professional on the road. And if they're just starting, you can give them a little bit of advice when you're sitting there talking. It's just nice to do it. Sometimes it might take a little bit out of your time and stuff, but, you know, I would strongly suggest if there's other, you know, there's another AP in an area to, you know, meet up with them. Especially you never know where it's going to lead down the road.
Oh yeah, for sure. Networking is, I've said this pretty much every episode several times. Networking is huge.
Yeah. People have no idea how big it is.
Especially when you can't play your locals anymore, or you got to do other things that aren't specifically card counting.
I saw somebody just post on BGA today asking somebody to share some of the other AP things in the casino. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
Well, that's going to be our show for today. I hope you learned something and enjoyed yourself. We will see you down the felt. Casino Queen.
stop it!
Sorry, sir. I'm doing my best.
Who made that man a gunner?
I did, sir. He's my cousin.
Who is he?
He's an asshole, sir.
I know that. What's his name?
That is his name, sir. Asshole. Major asshole.
And his cousin?
He's an asshole, too, sir. Gunner's mate, first class, Philip Asshole.
How many assholes we got on this ship, anyhow?
Yo!
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.